This Rockstar interview is brought to you by Mad Viking Beard Company, the brand for men who treat their beards like legends in the making. If you're still washing your beard with bar soap or stealing your girl's shampoo, stop. You're not just a man, you're a Viking, and your beard deserves more. Mad Viking isn't just oil, it's an elixir. It softens, strengthens, gives your beard that healthy, battle-ready sheen without ever feeling greasy. Their beard shampoo, right here, this thing, right here, all natural oils, doesn't strip them, because a real beard doesn't flake under pressure. And the conditioner, it's like an armor for your face. It tames the wild, fights the itch, and leaves your beard feeling like velvet wrapped around steel. All made with premium ingredients, bold scents, no bullshit. So if you got a beard and you're growing one worth respecting, level up with Mad Viking Beard Company. Go to madvikingbeard.com. Use promo code LEGENDARY for your discount. That's madvikingbeard.com. Unleash the beard.
How's it going? This is Sean from Smile Empty Soul, and you are watching The Anthony Rogers Show.
Your lyrics often hit on alienation, mental health, and society's dark side. Are those your biggest inspirations today?
I think so. I mean, those are topics everybody deals with, so it's a relatable thing to write songs about, you know.
Do you write songs more to vent or to connect with people, or both?
Vent. Definitely vent. Yeah.
And you're one of the bands that stayed like DIY for a long time. Like, what's the biggest lie you were told about making it in the music business?
Well, shit, the biggest lie. I don't know about lies, but I don't know if I would call it making it what we've done either. You know, we've been able to do some things, but we're still on a kind of lower level. I almost don't even really consider us part of the music industry at this point. We do music, but we aren't really incorporated in a lot of music industry things or ways. You know, we're label-less, and I'm our manager, and we mostly do our own tours, so we're kind of like just kind of doing our own thing, you know.
You're like the only humble rock star.
Well, I don't know about rock star once again, but. I appreciate it.
Was there a time you ever thought Smile Empty Soul was like done for good?
I mean, there were definitely times, you know, there's been a lot of hardships doing this you know, as dark and hard as things have gotten at times, I knew we could keep going. It's just how hard you want to work.
I can't do it anymore. How has your songwriting evolved from the first album to now?
I mean, I think it's just matured, you know. Lyrically and musically, you know, just, as you do anything in life this much, you kind of grow and learn and evolve. And I mean, we still sound like the Smile Empty Soul from back in the day, but I just think we've matured a lot.
When you're writing, do you think about how it'll hit live?
Definitely. Yeah, I mean, I want the songs to translate from record to the stage. Some don't. And then we just end up not playing them ever, and that's not good either, so.
Is it more about that, or like what feels right in the moment, like for you writing?
I mean, you just kind of take everything into consideration all at once, or you try to. You know, it's like I said, you want the songs to translate to the stage, but at the same time, there have been songs that I've written that I knew wouldn't be in the live set, but still we're just cool in some other aspect, and I still track them.
I've done a lot of acoustic stuff, like online and like shows like that. Do you prefer like a raw stripped down performance or the big like electric vibe you guys do?
Both are fun in kind of different ways. It's fun to do an acoustic thing after you've been doing a lot of full band stuff, just to change it up, change the pace. So I appreciate them both for different reasons.
Your first album had like massive mainstream success. How do you look back on that now, with like everything you've done since in hindsight?
You know, that was so long ago that it's like almost a different lifetime. So you know, I've settled into the fact that we'll never have that kind of corporate backing ever again. So we'll never be in those places that we are in. And I look back fondly at what we had at one time, but I'm also, you know, happy with what we're able to do now.
Is there like a song that like fans still love and scream and stuff that that you secretly wish you never had to play again?
All of them, yeah. All of the old ones. No, I enjoy playing all of our songs, but I mean some of the songs from the beginning that we have to play every night. You know, sometimes it's not the funnest to play because you've just done it so much, but at the same time, those songs receive good response, so it's great in that sense. You know,
how do you define success now versus when you first started out?
Paying the bills, getting those paid.
If Smiley Soul was starting like in 2025, what would you do differently?
I wouldn't even. The way that you make it now is so different than the way that you made it back then. I wouldn't even be able to do it. Everything now is just based on being able to work social media, and I'm a dinosaur and really bad at that. So back in the day, it was all about playing live, building a fan base, handing out demo tapes. Believe it or not, that's how old we are. And then trying to get that music to you know, a label or somebody that can sign you and get a record deal. These days, you have to build so much on your own via social media. I wouldn't be able to do it. So,
what's a crazy show experience or fan experience that still sticks with you today? Like out of all the years you've been doing this.
Fan experience. Well, one time, way back in the day, I got a call from my dad, and he told me that he had just talked to my ex-girlfriend on the phone for 45 minutes and that she was pregnant with my kid and going to have the baby. And he called me. We were about to do an acoustic radio performance, and I was just like, oh, my God. Like, my world was freaking out. So then after the radio performance, I called my ex-girlfriend. I was like, what the fuck? And she was like, what? I don't even know what you're talking about. And so as we kind of peeled back the layers to figure out what had happened, it was this weird psychotic fan of the band that had gotten my drummer's mom's phone number and my dad's phone number and had been actually calling my drummer's mom for like weeks, having these long conversations with her, and then called my dad and had that conversation with him. And then after, I think she called my dad again, and my dad busted her and told her he knew. And then she said she was coming to one of my shows and was going to kill me. So
that's fucking
that one
crazy.
Always stands out.
Yeah, I bet. How do you deal with that? Like,
I mean, you just try to laugh it off, I guess.
That's nuts, dude. Like, what's something about you wish, or what's something about you people would be shocked to know?
I mean, I'm basically a hermit. I don't like to go out to big crowds, you know, be around a lot of people. Like, I don't go to shows unless I'm playing the show, you know.
That is crazy to think about. You just, like, play for, like, a bunch of people here, and then like, you don't even like being around people.
On stage is different than being in the midst of all, you know, rubbing elbows with a bunch of people. It's difficult for me to do.
So. Do you still get nervous?
Not really. You know, I used to get nervous in the very beginning, but I mean, we've been doing this for 22 years now, so not too much.
If you could collaborate with anybody alive or dead, who would it be?
Collaborate? I don't know. I mean, I never really thought about that too much.
That's an honest answer, of course.
I guess Chris Cornell.
Chris Cornell?
Yeah.
Cool. Would you prefer to collaborate with him alive or dead?
Dead.
Oh, what's the biggest misconception about you?
I don't know if there are misconceptions, but I don't think people talk about me or think about me too much. So,
do you believe in the American dream?
Yeah, absolutely. You can do this here, you know? I don't think you can do this in Iran, so glad to be here.
That's awesome. What do you think happens after we die?
I think our spirit lives on. I think that there are other planes that our spirit ventures to, I hope, you know?
Do you have anything you want to say that I didn't bring up that you want to tell people watching this?
Check out our music. We got tons of it. More than most people realize, because we don't have that corporate push behind us, and haven't for a very long time. So hit up our Spotify and all those other spots and check out our catalog, because it's extensive.
Now, your favorite song, in my opinion, is Vultures. That's like my favorite song. I think I've told you that before. Like, what was going on when you wrote that song?
We were in the midst of a battle with our record company, our original record company, and it just felt like we had released one record that was so successful, and then things kind of turned sour, and it just made me feel like all these people that you kind of thought you formed friendships with are not true, you know? Those friendships aren't really friendships, and it's just a business, and that inspired the song.